Back on?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do it from here.
Okay, good. Okay. So I don't know at what point we... Okay, whatever. Anyway, getting back to the story. So I don't remember what we're up to. But I think we were talking about the sphagus. We were talking about what's the din if you have a Suffolk relative. So is there a velus for a Suffolk relative or not? So we said that it's probably a machlekes, Taisus and the Ramban. Taisus and against the Ram and the Ramban. According to Taisus, who says that all the velus is lahakel, so then just as there's no velus for a nefel, so there's no velus for a Suffolk karav either. But according to the Ram and the Ramban, so there should be avelos for a Suffolk Karov. The only reason why there's no avelos for a Suffolk Nefel is because there's no that sufficient tsar isn't present. The problem, according to Tosfos, is that there's a Brais and Maseches Machos that says Befeirush that there's avelos. The Brais says explicitly that when you have a Suffolk Karov, so all sets of relatives have to be Mesabel. Both fathers are Mesabel, both potential brothers and sisters are Mesabel. So how do you explain that according to Tosfos? So Tosfos explains in Maseches Yevamos that that must be the exception to the rule. Why is that an exception to the rule? Because Taisa says it's going to be an unbelievable zilzal for this person. The guy's going to die and no one's going to be responsible for him. This group of relatives is going to say, we're not the relatives. The other guy's going to say, we're not the relatives. No way. You have a normal guy. Guy's 95 years old, he dies. And everyone's going to wash their hands. No one's going to say, no one's going to take care of the guy. So Taisa writes, it must be the Chazal made a special takana. When you have this one crazy case, we have a Suffolk relative, so all the fakers have to step up to the plate and be misavol. We can't say one group over the other. How do you know who's the more relatives than the other relatives? It's a 50-50 Suffolk. So therefore, mid the Rabbanan, they made a special takana that even though normally Suffolk avelos is the kula, this must be the exception to the rules. According to the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rif, the Goyim, all the Rishonim will say that avelos, at least Yom Rishon, is the Araisa. So the basic rule is this halacha, that Suffolk krovim you do misavol for. And the exception to the rule is the Nefil. Nefil is different because there's not sufficient tsar. According to Tosfos, it's the exact opposite in Lomdus. According to Tosfos, the Nefil is the rule. That's a suffix, so therefore there's no avelus. And the suffix karav is the exception to the rule. The only reason why there is avelus is because of the specific fear that it doesn't look right. It's a big bizoyan for the person that no one's going to be misalbal for him. So at the end of the day, everyone agrees to the dinim. Everyone agrees that Suffolk relatives you are misalbal for. Everyone agrees that the Nefil you're not misalbal for. It's just a lomdish question. How do you understand this? The question is, how does this play out, Lamaisa? Rahman al-Islam, Lamaisa. But how does this play out, Lamaisa, this shayla of a chashash for Suffolk Nefil? So the Gemara says in Maseches Nida that what are we afraid of? That the baby dies within a month. So what are we concerned of? What do we think this baby is? We think the baby is a Nefil? So the Gemara says, being a Nefil means as follows. In the days of Chazal, so the assessment was that if the baby is a ninth-month baby, then the baby is not a Nefil. If the baby is an eighth-month baby, it means it never really fully developed, never had that completion of development. So an eighth-month baby is considered to be somehow a Nefil. How that plays out b'zman hazeh is a big question. The Gemara tells us that if the baby was a seventh-month baby, that's okay. If it's a seventh-month baby, it can survive. If it's a ninth-month baby, it can survive. If it's an eighth-month baby, it can't survive. So that, we don't seem to understand that in terms of our understanding of medicine today. So that seems to be difficult to understand. Usually we assume in medicine today that the further along the baby is, the better it is. So that idea of seventh-month is good, eighth-month is no good, we don't quite understand that. I have a friend of mine who's a neonatologist, so he wrote up, he told me once he wrote up a whole paper to try to explain away what conditions Chazal were concerned with, what exactly that phenomenon exists in the modern day world, difference between 7 months and 8 months. I don't know enough about the sugya, I don't know enough about neonatology to appreciate what he was talking about, but he wrote some scholarly papers. Those who are interested from a medical point of view, those will understand what he's talking about. So let me know afterwards. I'll put you in touch with him. But I'll call upon him. Again, this is what the Gemara presents. That the 8 month baby is a chashash of an Eifel. So the Gemara says that if you have a baby, and again, in the olden days, they had no way of knowing when how far developed this baby was. They didn't have pregnancy tests, so everything was guesswork to figure out how far the baby developed. The Gemara says if you have a baby that's born, that if it has certain physical characteristics, then we could be certain, pretty certain, that's a ninth-month baby, and it's not, and it really is a viable baby. That's what the Gemara calls kolo chadoshev. If you know for a fact that it's kolo chadoshev, if you know for a fact that it is a nine-month baby, and now the baby dies right away, so the Gemara says, that's not a nefil, that's a tragedy. No, the baby was a full-fledged, viable baby, and then something went wrong after birth. So the only time that this chashash of nafil exists is only if you don't have what's called kol chadash. If you don't know for certain that the baby is a full-term baby. What's considered to be a full-term baby? So the Gemara says that a full-term baby means a full 9 months. It's got to be a full, complete 9 months. The baby develops a full 9 months, then you can assume it's kol chadashav. How would you ever know that? So the only way you would know that if, let's say the husband went out of town 9 months ago, you can make a cheshbon, you can calculate, you figure out that the baby is an absolute, full-fledged, no question about it, 9 month, complete term baby. So then this whole din doesn't apply. The only time any of these didn't apply, the whole discussion today, is if you don't quite know for sure that it's kol chadashav. So the Ramah in Hilchos Chalitza quotes already from Rishonim who say that Bizman Hazeh Nishtanu HaTavayim, but Bizman Hazeh, some of the science has changed, some of the nature has changed. Namely, in the days of the Gemara, it was considered to be abnormal for a baby to be born within the ninth month. Bizman Hazeh, the Ramah writes, babies are born in the ninth month, and the babies are perfectly healthy. Everyone's fine, they're born within the ninth month, doesn't matter. So the Ramah says, Mistama, the Metzias has changed a little bit. There are certain things that have changed. We know certain things in the natural world have changed over the years. So the Ramah writes, Mistama, this has changed also. That, let's say, Lamash Nuchas Nida, the Gemara describes that most women have what's called a Vesis Kavua, the Gemara says. That a woman gets a period pretty much in a normal cycle, every 30 days, every 32 days, every 28 days, whatever it is. But women have a set pattern, and most women have a Vesis Kavua. The Gemara says for a woman to have a type of a cycle that 1 month is 28 days, 1 month is 30 days, 1 month is 35 days, 1 month is 31 days, the Gemara says that's very, very unlikely. The Gemara says a rove women in the world do not have cycles like that. Rove women, the women are pretty much a clockwork. So the Rishonim really say it's not true, Bizman Hazeh. We know for sure it's not true. Bizman, none of the women today have a Vesis Kavua. The only women who have Vesis Kavua, if you're on medication, you're on pills that monitor your cycle, then you have a Vesis Kavua. 99% of women today don't have anything that at all that resembles a Vesis Kavua. They have 29, 28, 31, 35. Everything fluctuates. So how could that be? So the answer is certain things have changed in the world. We know certain things have changed. In the olden days, 2,000 years ago, when Chazal was speaking, so a woman's average day was she woke up in the morning and milked the cows, stayed home in the barn, and prepared the wheat for the bread, and fed the kids, and sure, and that was it. Bizman Hazeh, everyone's running and coming and flying and driving, and up till 3 o'clock in the morning at 4 o'clock in the night, people are running around. So we know that certain things affect a woman's body in this area. So it's not so crazy that we find certain changes. So again, for whatever reason, I don't know enough about the science, about the medicine, but the Gemara is describing birth in a certain manner, and the Ramah is telling you in his day, it's not the same. The women are giving birth earlier than they were, and we know that things were different. We know nutrition was different, we know patterns of eating were different, we know sleep patterns were different, a lot of things were different. So the Ramah says that Bizman Hazeh, if a woman would have a baby within the ninth month, we could already assume that's called Kol HaChadashav, and it's not a chasafik of a nefam altogether. And therefore, the Ramah writes in Hilchos Chalitza, which was the source of the original discussion, so the Ramah writes that if a baby is born Bizman Hazeh, and we know for a fact that it's already into the ninth month, so then we could assume that's a viable birth, and even if the baby dies a day later, the woman would not require chalitza. That's considered to be a real bona fide baby. So as long as there was a baby alive at the time that the husband died, even though the baby died within, quote unquote, 30 days of birth, that wouldn't concern us Bizman Hazeh. She would not require chalitza because since the baby was a full-term baby, it was in the ninth month, so we treat it like a regular child. As long as the child was present at the time when the father died, so there's no requirement of chalitza. You wouldn't need any chalitza. You need chalitza when there's no baby, when there's nobody alive. So in the days of the Gemara, a baby that dies within 30 days doesn't count. It's as if the baby doesn't exist. So the woman would require chalitza. Bizman Hazeh, Ramah says you don't need chalitza. So you see that the Ramah was so convinced of this svar of kol chadashav, that this idea of being in the ninth month is considered to be a full-term baby with Bizman Hazeh. You don't have to wait to the end of the ninth month. Within the ninth month is also good enough. The Ramah was meikil. He was meikil in a shot of a deraisa based, a potential deraisa based on this. So the post can point out that l'chor, how should this play out in Hilchos Avelos? So in Hilchos Avelos, we should say with certainty, if a baby dies Bizman Hazeh within 30 days, so the real question to ask is, was this a full-term baby or not? Was it a kol chadashav or not? So the answer was that yes, it was kol chadashav. It was a 9-month baby. So then the baby was a normal baby. It was a quote-unquote healthy baby. Something happened afterwards. Not a tragedy, but there would be Avelos. That's what l'chor d'alocha should be. How do you know whether it's kol chadashav Bizman Hazeh? That's a joke. The days of the Ramah wasn't so easy. But Bizman Hazeh, it's a joke. They'll tell you as soon as the woman realizes that she's pregnant, she'll go to the doctor. The doctor will play his, look at his little, the little arrow they used to use, you know, to figure out this is the conception date, this is the due date, and shine up, let's go, up 3 months, back 1 week, whatever the cheshbon is, and then they tell you, shut, exactly, this is the day, this is your due date. Again, whether she's going to give birth on that day is a different story, but they have a due date, they know when conception was, within a day or so, so they can figure it out. So, l'chora, based on this Ramah, should come out when a baby is born, b'zman hazeh, if we know that it's within the ninth month, so we know that everything was theoretically okay, even though the baby dies subsequently, we should treat that baby as a normal, full-fledged baby, and there should be avelus. That's what the din should be. If the Ramah was mekel, even in chalitza, we have to be machmen avelus. So even though that's what the din is, that's not what the minig is. Most people don't do that. B'zman hazeh, so even Nebuch, when a baby dies within the month, so the oilim is knowing not to observe avelus. So it's hard to understand that. So, Sufik, Avelos Tekula, it's not really a Sufik anymore. So it's hard really to understand that, but I think that's what if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what the Olam generally does, that babies are dying right away, so we assume that there's no Avelos for them. Maybe we assume it's still a Sufik, maybe it's still not 100% Kola Chadasha, but not 100% sure. So in Uvas Avelos, we tend to be very, very makel. Whether a person would want to volunteer to observe Avelos under those circumstances, maybe that would be appropriate. Again, it's hard for me to say. But again, the Iker Adin seems to be that all of this whole discussion we had this morning only really makes sense when you're dealing with a real suffix in Hilchos Avelos. When there's no real suffix anymore, we know for a fact the baby has survived, it's called a chadasha, but now something happens later, so the chari that should, the din should be a little bit different. But again, I think that the Olam is still noig, like they were in the olden days. Even the Ramah himself, in Hilchos Avelos, doesn't make mention of this. Only in Hilchos Chalitza makes mention of this. I'll call upon him. I think we, in a certain sense, I don't call it we made a siyum, but we finished one major part of Hilchos Avelos in the sense of who one is misabel for. So was one misabel for, which kind of relatives one is misabel for, do the relatives do things that may lose their privileges of Avelos, we spoke about the last couple of weeks, now the situation, the tragic baby today, so we finished this first sugya of Hilchos Avelos, who are the recipients of Hilchos Avelos, hopefully Mirtz Hashem in the next year, so we'll talk about when exactly Avelos begins, at what moment in time is considered to be the Hilchos Avelos, and many, many important showers and sugyas that emanate from that point. Thank you.